Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everyone. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man show here on Monday, September the 21st, officially the last day of summer. As tomorrow starts fall, but like I said, we're so glad to have you wherever you may be, however you may be joining the broadcast tonight. And it's going to be a good night tonight. I have the word to get to tonight, and then during sports, we'll talk about college football as things are getting ready to heat up soon on that level. I will let you know how the first weekend of high school football went for the local teams here in Midland. And also, we have some Tigers news to talk about this evening. So we have a busy sports night tonight. Therefore, we'll be doing, you know, Football Central. And then, just before that will be our Tigers update. But first, of course, want to let you know I'm kind of what I've been up to and my thoughts on America right now and where we're at. Normally, this isn't really a political show, but we have the election coming up in just a little over a month. And so right now, like when big things happen, I like to kind of talk about them. It's not about to talk politics. It's about so that you'll pray. That's why I do this. I'll do this so that you'll pray. And I do this to let you know, like, what as Christians, what can we do? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about, you know, what happened this weekend in relates to, like, the court and that, and then I'll kind of lighten it up in a few minutes by talking about, like, what I did this weekend and that. So, as you know, as most of you probably know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg of the Supreme Court, specifically Justice Ginsburg, you'd say, she died at the age of 87 on Friday after dealing with multiple bouts of pancreatic cancer. She was a fighter. She fought till the end. The end ended up being the end for her. And the only thing I like about her is that she fought to the end. Mind you, she was a very liberal Supreme Court justice appointed by Clinton back in 1993. And I imagine she moved left over the years as the left moved left. But So I'm not going to spend time really talking about Ginsburg. What I do want to talk about instead is this. The president said he wants to fill the seat. In fact, on Saturday night at a rally that he had in North Carolina, the attendees at his rally greeted him by yelling, "Fill that seat." That's the good thing. And so he's dropped the list down to 5 people. He will announce on Friday, reportedly, who he will pick. And then the Senate will vote. Now, the rough part is, the bad part is that you have all these Democrats on the left. There was actually a Twitter post. I forget who posted this, but it said, basically, what it said is that if the President Trump gets this Supreme Court judge appointed before the election, that basically we're going to burn down this whole thing. We're going to burn down the whole country, essentially, is basically what they said. And basically, and others vouted that there would be bigger and more riots. We need to take authority over this right now, listeners. We need to take authority over that and curse these demons that are radicalizing the left. Obviously, you know what I think is going on? There are these people out there who desperately need Jesus. They desperately need Jesus, but they continue to reject him. And when you have people making these threats that they're making, that is a sign to me that they have a demon. I'm telling it like it is. If you don't like it, then more power to you. But we have to take authority over these spirits. We have to. And we have to pray that the president is unfazed by this and that they get this person voted in. And, of course, we believe, God, that it's going to be the right choice, the right person to fill her seat, and that it will be a good, solid, conservative, pro-life justice, because that's what Trump said he was appointing. And he's kept his word so far. But as Christians, we have to pray. As Christians, we have to believe God. Remember that verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14, where God said, "If my people would humble themselves and pray, if they seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." And so, we're going to take authority right now and pray and bind these evil spirits, because I was going to do what I was going to do and then just say, you know, do it in your own time. Which you should, as part of your homework, as part of the Praying for America, that I'll mention of the 4 things that you should be doing. But I felt in my spirit that I was supposed to do this right now on the show, because this is serious. So we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the United States of America, for what you've made it, for how you've designed it to be. And I thank you for, and I know right now, Lord Jesus, America needs your help. Desperately. We need you to help us as a nation. Thank you that you're making a way in this country when there seems to be no way. And Lord God, I take authority over these spirits right now that are all over these Democrats. These spirits for which they are saying that they are going to burn everything down and do all these other things if we appoint this Supreme Court justice. I pray right now that you are intervening right now, Jesus. You are intervening right now, sending laborers to these people to talk to them, sending laborers into the Senate halls, into the House of Representatives, into these cities, into these states where these houses of representatives live, wherever they are, wherever all these people are that are making these threats against our country, all over a justice pick. I pray, Lord God, that these threats would come to naught, and then that you would deal with all of these people right now as I bind the spirit of division. I bind the spirit of timidity and all of these demons that are trying to take hold. I bind all of those demons right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Amen. And Lord, I thank you for what you're doing and that you are pushing back the enemy and that we are going to win. And that you would bless America as your people turn from their wicked ways, humble themselves and pray and seek your face. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. And the reason I dealt with it when I did, instead of, you know, waiting a few minutes, is because I felt like that was on my spirit, and I felt like I just had to deal with it right then and right there. And whatever you, and remember, the Bible says, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Amen. Now, so this weekend, on Saturday specifically, I went to this indoor water park in Mount Pleasant. It's called Soaring Eagle Water Park and Hotel. And it was for someone's birthday party. And believe it or not, There was actually quite a bit of people there. I would say like 250 or so. So it was about two-thirds full, I would say. They only had a couple of tiny little things closed off, but that was it. Basically, there was no distancing, basically. And outside of the lobby, no one was wearing a muzzle. No one was wearing a muzzle outside of the lobby, but it was a good time. A lot of people seemed to me like people are starting to get over all of this COVID nonsense stuff. The CDC made a statement this weekend, even regarding the droplets in the air. The CDC on Friday posted something that basically said the droplets can travel through the air, even distances beyond 6 feet, restaurants, choir practice, and what have you. Today they had to take that down because they were contacted by the WHO, the WHO, the World Health Organization. And the WHO asked, where do you get this conclusive info? So they had to take it down. So they think they can just hear something, and then they either post it or take it down. But if you think about it, it's some crazy stuff. But the truth of the matter is that if you're asymptomatic, you're not as apt to get someone sick as if you're actually symptomatic. If you have corona and you're symptomatic, you're much more apt to spread it, much more than if you're not. And this idea that you have the same amount of viral load, whether you're symptomatic or asymptomatic, well, let me dispel that right now. And let me mention something to you. I was listening to this podcast on Friday. I forget the name of it, but it had Ted Cruz and a doctor on it. And it was this doctor and Ted Cruz. And what they discussed is this. Initially, it was advised that all these countries should only set the test sensitivity level on these tests. All the sensitivity levels, you know, on all these COVID tests, they should only be set to 30. In this country, they were set anywhere between 37 and 40. What this means is that if they're set to that high of sensitivity, that means that you can detect even the small amounts of virus that can't make someone sick. These small amounts of virus, and they even mentioned that the 90% of these asymptomatic cases of COVID that were listed as positive should have actually been negative. 90% of them. 90%. And I'm sure this is assuming that level was set to 30, which it should have been. So when I look at that, I go, wow, it's good to know. And so also, remember we talked about Favre's law before, that over time, as it mutates, it doesn't get stronger, it gets weaker. We also now know that it did come out of a lab in China. It did not come just straight from a bat and then enter nature and then poof. No. It was released. It was manipulated by humans. Yes, it was. I just had to tell you this so that you could put those theories to bed. Now, when I talk to you about this kind of stuff, I give you the real deal stuff. I don't give you what the fake news said. You know, Communist News Network, ABC's a fake news, and the other ones. So that's just to put it into perspective for you about what we're really dealing with. And we are dealing with manipulation. And more and more of this is going to be exposed. And so, yeah. Now, the other thing I was going to say is, when I was there at that water park, I even told a couple of people, isn't it crazy that at these regular water parks, now this water park in Mount Pleasant is actually owned by a tribe. So that's why they're even allowed to be open at such a high capacity. And I mentioned this to a couple of people, and they both were like, wow, you're right. And like they're realizing how crazy this is. What I'm talking about is this idea that you can go to Walmart, Target, Home Depot, you know, and go to these places to shop, and reportedly the virus isn't there. Or it is, but it's not there. You can loot, you can riot, and according to the news, you don't get it. But if you try to go to the water park, you try to go to the beach, you try to go somewhere to have family time, the virus is there. According to them. But there was all these people that, and they're like, oh, wow. They're like, you're right. You know, but I mean, I just know it's like what they say, but anyhow, it was a good time, though, you know, being there and seeing all those people. And I'm talking about what they think it might be as to why all these other places are closed, like those arcades and all that are supposed to be closed now. But in almost all these other states, they're open. Most all of them. Ain't that something? You can bowl in a league in Michigan and you're fine. Oh, but you bowl as a family, trouble. Isn't that something? A virus can tell who's at the bowling alley. That's just dumb, isn't it, Megan? It's like a virus. It's almost like the virus can tell who's there. I know, right? Yeah. It's almost like it can tell who's there, yeah. and it's like just selective, choosing who it may devour.
Yeah.
you're there as a group. I'm gone. And then they claim that that's their reason, like, for, you know, it's for choosing what to restrict and where to go from there. Nonetheless, it's all craziness. Now, moving on. So this episode, of course, has been brought to you by your local McDonald's, where you can grab any size Coca-Cola products for just $1 a piece all day, every day, as they say. So, all good there. Now, real quick, then we're going to sing. I want to quickly remind you about the I'm going to very quickly remind you about your homework assignments. Number one, read Psalm 23 out loud every day. Number two, read Psalm 91 daily. Number three, every day at noon, curse the virus, bless the Lord, set an alarm on your phone. And number four, pray over America. And just pray that God can push back the plans of the enemy, the plans that the enemy has for America, so we can just push that back. And we have to pray and we have to believe God. Prayer is going to be a very critical part of this. That and your vote. But it's not enough to just vote. Not even enough just to vote biblical. You also got to pray. Because prayer is going to be a big part of this. Because prayer works. The prayers of the saints work. Amen. So, we're going to sing a couple of songs. And then we're going to go into the Word. Then we will have our sports along with our Football Central. So, for your glory has been shown, and your mysteries unknown. For the miracles we've seen, we praise you, Lord. For your beauty has been shown, and your mysteries unknown. All your miracles we've seen, we praise you, Lord. So I'm never gonna stop, never gonna stop lifting up my hands to you, lifting up my heart. Soon the misery comes and goes, time will be no more, and I'll be praising you, praising you. So the story has been told, and your mercy has been shown. For the miracles we've seen, we praise you, Lord. And the story of your love, and the wonder of your love. All the miracles we've seen, we praise you, Lord. So I'm never gonna stop, never gonna stop lifting up my hands to you, lifting up my heart. Though the last day comes and goes, time will be no more. I'll be praised. isn't you. So I'm never gonna stop, never gonna stop lifting up my hands to you, lifting up my heart. Though the last day comes and goes, time will be no more. I'll be praising you, I'll be praising you, I'll be praising, I'll be praising you, I'll be praising, I'll be praising you, I'll be praising, I'll be praising. So I'm never gonna stop, never gonna stop lifting up my hands to you, lifting up my heart. Though the last day comes and goes, time will be no more, and I'll be praising you. So I'm never gonna stop lifting up my hands to you, lifting up my heart. Though the last day comes and goes, time will be no more, and I'll be praising you, praising you. Thank you, Jesus. I will move up higher. I will move up higher. I set my sights above the clouds, where God does dwell and his glory does prevail. I will move up higher. I will move up higher. I set my sight only on him, and these things on earth will grow strangely dim. Though my ways are not yet your ways, I draw close to you. And Lord, let it be, and lift me up to you. I will move up higher. I will move up higher. I set my sight above the clouds, where God does dwell and his glory does prevail. I will move up higher. I will move up higher. I set my sight only on him, and these things on earth will grow strangely dim. I will move up higher. I will move up. I will move up higher. I set my sight above the clouds, where God does dwell and his glory does prevail. I will move up higher. I will move up higher. I set my sight
on him, then these things on earth will grow strangely dim. Then these things on earth, they will grow strangely dim. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you lift us up. You lift us up. And I just thank you, Lord Jesus, that we will choose to move up higher, to set our sights on you. And that as we turn our eyes to you, the things of this earth, they would grow dim to us. Because as we focus on you, we fix our eyes upon you, Lord Jesus. You can help us, and you can make a great big difference in us. And I just thank you, Lord God, for these listeners tonight, that they would receive everything you have for them tonight. Whatever it is that you have for them, may they just receive it tonight greatly. With a good heart, with a mind that's ready to receive it, and ears ready to hear it, and be ready to do your word. And I just give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And I make my, and now, Lord, I just thank you right now for, I make my confession over this program tonight. And I confess that sponsors and partners would come into this program, that increases in listenership would come to this program, that finances would come in, and most importantly of all, I thank you, Lord God, for huge increases in listenership coming into this program, and most of all for the huge amount of souls coming in as a result of this great program. And I give you all the praise and the honor and the glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Turn with me, if you would please, in your Bible, to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 2. Woo! Amen. 2 Samuel 2. And I want to remind you to, whatever I do here where I am, whatever I do where I am at, you do where you are. If I sing again, you sing along. If I pray, you pray. As I study the Bible, you study with me. Praise God. I'm in 2 Samuel 2, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 1. In the course of time, David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up to one of the towns of Judah?" he asked. The Lord said, "Go up." David asked, "Where shall I go?" So David went up there. He went up there with his two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David also took the men who were with him, each with his family, and they settled in Hebron and its towns. Then the men of Judah came to Hebron, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. When David was told that it was the men of Jabesh Gilead who had buried Saul, he sent messengers to the men of Jabesh Gilead
to say to them, the Lord bless you for showing this kindness to Saul, your master of Birmingham. May the Lord show them, may the Lord now show you kindness and faithfulness, and I too will show you the same favor because you have done this. Now then, be strong and brave, for Saul, your master, is dead, and the house of Judah has anointed me king over them. Verse 8. Meanwhile, Abner, son of Ner, the commander of Saul's army, had taken Ish-bosheth, son of Saul, and he brought him over to Mahanaim, and he made him king over Gilead, Ashuri, and Joel, and all over Ephraim, Benjamin, and all Israel. Ish-bosheth, son of Saul, was 40 years old when he became king over Israel, and he reigned 2 years. The house of Judah, however, followed David. The length of time David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. Abner, son of Ner, together with the men of Ish-bosheth, son of Saul, left Mahanaim and went to Gibeon. And Joab, son of Zeruiah, and David's men, they went out and met them at the pool of Gibeon. One group sat down on one side with the pool, and one group was on the other side of the pool. Then Abner said to Joab, let's have some of the young men get up and fight hand to hand in front of us. All right, let them do it, Joab said. So they stood up and they were counted off, 12 men for Benjamin and Ish-bosheth, son of Saul, and 12 for David. Then each man grabbed his opponent by the head, and he thrust his dagger into his opponent's side, and they fell down together. So that place in Gibeon was called Helmath Hazurim. The battle that day was very fierce, and Abner and the men of Israel were defeated by David's men. The three sons of Zeruiah were there: Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. Now, Asahel was as fleet-footed as a wild gazelle. He chased Abner, turning neither to the right or to the left as he pursued him. Abner looked before him, and he asked, is that you, Asahel? It is, he answered. Then Abner said to him, turn aside to the right or to the left. Take on one of the young men and strip him out his weapons. But Asahel would not stop chasing him. Again, Abner
warned Asalel, "Stop chasing me. Why should I strike you down? How could I look your brother Joab in the face?" But Asalel refused to give up the pursuit. So Abner thrust the butt of a spear into Asalel's stomach, and the spear came out through his back. He fell there, and he died on the spot. For every man stopped when he came to the place where Asalel had fallen and died. But Joab and Abishai pursued Abner, and as the sun was setting, they came to the hill of Ammah near Gath on the way to the wasteland of Gibeon. Then the men of Benjamin rallied behind Abner, and they formed themselves into a group and took their stand on top of a hill. And Abner called out to Joab, "Must the sword devour forever? Don't you realize that this will end in bitterness? How long before you order your men to stop pursuing their brothers?" Joab answered, "As surely as God lives, if you had not spoken, the men would have continued the pursuit of their brothers until morning." So Joab blew the trumpet, and all the men came to a halt, and they no longer pursued Israel, nor did they fight anymore. And all that night, Abner and his men marched through the Arabah, and they crossed the Jordan and continued through the whole Bethron, and they came to Madanim. Then Joab returned. He returned from putting Abner and assembled all his men. Besides Asalel, 19 of David's men were found missing. But David's men had killed 360 Benjamites who were with Abner. And they took Asalel and they buried him in his father's tomb at Bethlehem. Then Joab and his men marched all that night till they arrived at Hebron by daybreak. And the war between the house of Saul and the house of David lasted a long time. David grew stronger and stronger, while the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. Sons were born to David in Hebron. His firstborn was Amon, the son of Adonoam and Jezreel. His second, Caleb, and son of Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. And the third, Absalom, who was the son of Maacah, who was the daughter of Talmai, who was king of Jeshu. And the fourth, Adonijah, who was the son of Haggath. The fifth, Shemoth. Oh, these are just the names of his sons. And then we'll read the rest of these verses, and then we'll talk a bit about what happened. During the war between the house of Saul and the house of David, Abner had been strengthening his own position in the house of Saul. Now, Saul had had a concubine named Rezva, daughter of Ai. And Ishbosheth said to Abner, "Why did you sleep with my father's concubine?" Abner was very angry because of what Ishbosheth said. And he answered, "Am I a dog's head on Judah's side? This very day, I am loyal to the house of your father Saul and to his family and friends. I have not handed you over to David, yet now you accuse me of an offense involving this woman. May God deal with Abner, be it ever so severely, if I do not do for David what the Lord promised him on oath and transfer the kingdom from his house of Saul and Ishbosheth, David thrown over Israel and Judah from Gan to Beersheba." Ishbosheth did not fare to say another word to Abner because he was afraid of him. Then Abner sent messengers on his behalf to say to David, "Whose land is it? Make an agreement with me, and I will help you bring all Israel over to you." "Go," said David. "I will make an agreement with you, but I demand one thing of you. Do not come into my presence unless you bring Michal, daughter of Saul, when you come to see me." Then David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, son of Saul, demanding, "Give me my wife, Michal, whom I betrothed by myself for the price of 100 Philistine foreskins." There Ishbosheth gave orders and had her taken away from her husband, Phaltiel, son of Laish. Her husband, however, went with her, weeping before her all the way to Bashan. Then Abner said to him, "Go back home." So he went back. And Abner conferred with the elders of Israel and said, "For some time you have wanted to make David your king. Now do it. For the Lord promised David, 'My servant David, I will rescue my people Israel from the hand of the Philistines and from the hand of all of their enemies.'" Abner also spoke to the Benjamites in person. Then he said to Hebron, went to Hebron to tell David everything that Israel and the whole house of Benjamin wanted to do. When Abner, who had 20 men with him, came to David at Hebron, David prepared a feast for him and his men. Then Abner said to David, "Let me go at once and assemble all Israel for my lord the king, so that they may make a compact with you, and that you may rule over all with your heart desires." And so David went, he sent Abner away, and he went in peace. So what you see here is David's House of David went to war with the house of Saul. Of course, Saul was the former king of Israel, as we discovered and talked about last time. We had talked about how Saul was not a good king. For the most part, he was not a good king. He did not follow the ways of the Lord. He didn't do good at it. God even told him to kill all of these certain lambs, not just the bad ones. Kill all of them. And then he said, I did. And then David says, Samuel says, what's all this? What's all that noise? And then he says, I've sinned. Even though at first he had lied. And he actually lied, even though he knew otherwise. But he lied anyway. And so David later becomes king of Judah. And he's the king of Judah for seven and a half years. Over the course of time, he has his children. And then they go to war with Saul's house. And what happens, ends up happening, is that the house of David gets stronger. The house of Saul grew weaker. And Abner, of course, was in Saul's camp. He was the leader in Saul's camp. And he was Ishbosheth, you know, they were even chasing him. And of course, even though 17 of David's men went missing, David's army had killed 300 of Abner's. 300 of Saul, in other words, 300 of Saul's camp. Which is part of where we get this thing from, where it says, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his tens of thousands. And if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. And I don't mean flight on an airplane. Although I wish it was. To like Georgia or something. Or Texas. Okay, not that kind of flight, but like by the sword. So the reason David's men were getting stronger, you see, was because they had the Lord on their side. And nothing is too hard for the Lord. Nothing. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. And whatever that giant is that you're facing in your life, whatever that giant is, it doesn't matter what it is. God can be there. God can help you, even if it's something that you think is way too big, too hard, too difficult to whatever. But God wants to be there for you. He's there for you. He wants to help you. He cares that much about you. He really does. It's not just something that we say. He really is able, more than able, in fact. I serve a God that is able. In fact, he's more than able to deliver me from whatever it is that the enemy wants to throw at me. Doesn't matter what it is. Whatever that thing is that the enemy wants to throw, God is bigger. He's greater. He's stronger. And the Benjamites, see, though Benjamin was brought up in the house of Jacob, that group didn't have everything the way that it should have been. And but you see, God was with David, and God blessed him, and he continued to bless him. And like I said, they were getting stronger while the others were getting weaker. And if you have God on your side and you're doing what God is telling you to do, you'll find that you can be getting stronger while your enemies, your adversaries, are getting weaker. Because we have the Word. We have the Holy Ghost. We have faith. We have the church. We have Jesus. And all these great things we have, that those who choose not to follow God, they don't have it. That's why they're dying, and we are living. Amen. And they even told David to be brave. They even told him, be brave. You know, don't be all fearful. And of course, fear doesn't stand a chance in a believer who does not allow fear to enter. You see, if you allow yourself to live in fear, your fear will dictate things to you. There's people right now with this COVID thing. There's people that the reason they're not in church, even though they could be and should be, even though their church may have been open, unless you're out in California, where they're really not supposed to be in church, which in my mind is a complete sham. But even if it's there, wherever it is, first of all, if you're the pastor of a church, you're the pastor of a water baptized, if you're the pastor of a church in this country,
and you still haven't opened up your church, what are you waiting for? Open it up. Stay there and be afraid and be fearful. Stand up. Open it up. Well, I'm waiting for God to tell me when to open. Open it next Sunday. It's coming Sunday, actually. Yeah, amen. Open it. But needless to say, there is people that the reason that they are not in the house of God, even though they should be, is because they are afraid. And I know, wash your hands, you know, do the things. If a muzzle makes you feel more comfortable right now, then by all means, wear it. If not, and you go to a church that doesn't force you to wear it, then in that case, maybe don't wear it. When I go to church, at my local church, we don't have to wear them. And 97% of that congregation does not wear one in the church. I know of people that just refuse to wear them, period. No names. I'm telling on no one. You can't just be in fear. You got to be able to be brave. You have to be able to make a stand and to stand up for what's right and make a stand. That's why I love so much the stand that Rodney Howard Brown has been making for over 100 days now, 106 nights now. Tonight will be night 107. 107 nights that he has stood with the stand. And they're standing for those who can't stand. This is going to continue until the world opens up. Tell people around the world are freely able to worship to the degree that they were before all this. Sadly, in America, we're not there yet. In California, now they're even taking apart a Bible studies in people's homes. That if the Bible's open, you could be fined. And, well, if you vote wrong, that'll be coming to a state near you. If you're not in California, or Oregon, or Washington State, or New York, or some of these others. But this is why we have to pray. This is why we have to help people get out there and vote Bible. Because of everything that is at stake. And we can't be in fear. We have to be brave. God tells us, go talk to these people. Go encourage these people. Do it. God tells you, I want you to post this verse on your Facebook or your Twitter or your Instagram. And the verse I want you to post is that verse where it says, you know, if my people humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked way. Do it. Well, not all will. Some of my friends will be offended at it. Who cares? They need to hear it. And yes, we do it lovingly. We do it lovingly, listeners, but we can't just be all, you know, petty, like, like last election in California at these universities. They were giving these college children, Play-Doh to play with, and dogs to pet, and stuffed animals to hold and play with, because they were so mad about the election. Well, Miracle Man, you called them college children. They were acting like it. And so, even though we do it in love, still have to tell the truth. And that's what I do. And I know in one Facebook group I'm in, they, you know, some of those people, they don't necessarily like what I have to say. Not all of them do. But the truth of the matter is if you have those people that you know of that might have differing beliefs, you know, about what we're dealing with right now or whatever, you know, then you just have to, you know, tell them the truth. Tell them where we are. Can't live in fear. Got to fight the good fight of faith. We have to fight. We fight, but the weapons we use are not carnal. Don't use a spear on your neighbor's house. No. The weapons we use are not carnal. But we teach them the word, and we tell them the truth. Amen. And David, of course, he just continued to get stronger and stronger and stronger. Whereas the camp of Saul, all they did was grow weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. And weaker. Sorry for getting so quiet there, but I was just illustrating. Lord God, I thank you for this message tonight. Thank you that they would take this word to heart tonight about this word tonight about, you know, not being afraid, telling the truth, even though we're not like it, about how if one puts 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight, and that our strength is in you, Lord, and with you all things are possible, and that this works in every day, all of our life. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen, and amen, and amen. All right, now,
Sports. Ron Gardenhire of the Detroit Tigers has announced that he is retiring. He retired immediately from the Tigers, effective Saturday, to focus on his health. Apparently he's had some health problems, hasn't necessarily released everything, but he was saying that that's what he was doing. As they at least try to still make the postseason. Gardenhire never made the playoffs while he was here in Detroit. If they can do the right things, they can hopefully be a contender soon. Like maybe next year or the year after that. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. So that's what you have. And then now they have an interim manager in place. So that means that after this season is done, they will be looking for a new manager / head coach. And hopefully we can get a good one who can, who's committed to Detroit, someone who wants to see us do great things. Because Gardenhire happened to find ways to choke when he was in Minnesota. Oh, we're doing so good in the regular season. Choke! Choke in the playoffs. Yes, I'm looking at you, 06 Twins. You jumped over the Tigers in the last couple of games of the regular season of 2006. Only the choke in the next round of the first round of the playoffs. Won the Tigers, who made it in as a wild card because they didn't, all because they didn't win their division. They made the World Series. But you, the Twins, who were managed by you, Gardenhire, you choked. So hopefully we can get someone who's not a choke artist to be the manager. And yes, he said, you know, we were going to surprise some people. And yes, in the way in the regular season, at times, they were a pleasant surprise compared to last year. The Tigers were. I'm serious. I really am. But then again, we were getting to the point where any live sports was a welcome retreat. Okay. Moving over to time for Football Central, was brought to you by your Dairy Queen and the fall, as I'm going to call it, the flavors of fall with the caramel apple pie blizzard and the pumpkin pie blizzard. I have to see whether or not they have it. In terms of football, as you probably now know, the Big Ten announced that they will be starting play the week of October 24th. So on Saturday, October 24th, the Big Ten season will start. Chances are these games will carry on into December, into the bowl game season, which means chances are they'll have to play on snowy fields in Ann Arbor and in East Lansing and in Columbus. Try not to use the O word or the Columbus. You know, because they represent that team to the south. You get the idea? That was funny, wasn't it? Columbus, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Columbus. That, you know, because I was saying the cities. But mind you, you know, that, yeah, that school, Michigan and MSU. And, of course, Indiana, Iowa. For the most part, most of the Big Ten is under the same kind of climate. But, of course, up here and in Minnesota, they have, we're like the coldest of the cold. And so, I'll have to wait and see what happens when playing in December. It could be some old-timers, maybe. We'll have to wait and see. Because I've heard stories about playing in the snow way back when. I heard stories of Michigan playing that team into the south in conditions where there was a good amount of snow on the ground and falling. Back when. So maybe we could have that again. We'll have to wait and see. And the schedules have not been released. I'm sure those are being finalized. I'd like to see the game being played on Thanksgiving weekend is when I would like to see the game be played. But we'll have to wait and see. High school level, you had Midland throttle Saginaw 48-0, which was basically just about the same score as last year. Midland throttling Saginaw 50-0. Great play all around by the Chemics, who improved to 1-0. Of course, Saginaw 0-1. Mettner was very pleased to get back on the field. And he admitted that he was shocked that the fall season was reinstated. He was extremely happy about it. He wasn't sure what spring football season would look like, but he was very happy. He was happy to have a good couple weeks in practice and to have a good game on Friday. Now, Midland will be traveling to Heritage this coming Friday, and Heritage was throttled by Pontiac Notre Dame Prep, like 34-0. So apparently they're not as good as they were last year. Heritage isn't. But they played Midland tough at times the last 2 years. Want to see what happens this year. Dow started off to a slow start for like the first quarter, no score. Second quarter starts off slow for Dow. Bay City Central. So it starts off slow for Dow. Bay City Central starts to march down the bay to settle for a field goal. By that point, it is 3-0 Wolves. Then Dow goes down the field, can't get a touchdown. So the Wolves get the ball back. Dow. Central fumbled the ball, and Dow's defensive line, they return it all the way back to a touchdown. And then later the same thing happens. They scored 3 different touchdowns on defensive plays en route to a 51-12 win for Dow. Dow, under their first year head coach, improves to 1-0, and the Wolves do not win. Dow is now home to take on Saginaw on Friday.
Like, all in all, it seemed like it was a good week of MHSAA football, as we are getting back to at least a semblance of normalcy to a degree. Lie downs, yep, what do you know? They started off okay, but then what do you know? Fourth quarter comes and they go to sleep as they fall to the Pack 41-21, 42-21 again. Lions now 0-2. 0-2 is not a gateway to success in the NFL. So they got to try again next week. Now, the Bucs did win their game over the Panthers. It was like 24-21. Brady did a decent job, but his receivers aren't that great. So he needs to work on his receivers a bit so that they can work with him, because obviously he wanted to be their leader. So they have to want to work with him and help him so they can be what they want to be. We have tonight's NFL game, Monday night, and I'll let you know how that went. Tomato. For the picks, we were 4-0. Until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everyone.